Hello and welcome. Scare Track. Scare Track Podcast. Welcome to the Scare Track Podcast, the UK's first podcast dedicated to the scare attraction and haunted house industry. However, please be advised that we have no censor. The language used may be of an explicit nature and is not intended for younger listeners or the easily offended. All views expressed are those of the individual host and do not necessarily reflect those of Scare Track, our guests, or any of our associates. So, if you're still here, let's get scared.
So this is where our adventure begins.
Oh my God!
I'm scared myself!
Kate Monroe is screaming. Spoiler alert, freaking awesome.
The
quality of the set was amazing.
Oh, I don't like it.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Scare Track Podcast. My name is Mikey and today's episode is a discussion review episode with Dan and Jess from UK Haunters. They have just completed the Haunted Toy Store, the escape room by No Escape in London. But before we do that, just a quick shout out for our good friends across the pond. Go and check out the Haunted Attraction Network. If you want to hear about all the new things happening over in the States, the new Busch Gardens Halloween Scream Mazes, Halloween Horror Nights, the fact that SeaWorld Orlando is having a Halloween Scream event as well this year. They really do have all the news, the rumours and the know-how and lots of interviews as well over on the Haunted Attraction Network. Philip does a fantastic job, so go and check them out. But if you're still here with this episode, there are going to be some minor spoilers, but not too many at all, as Dan and Jess talk all about the Haunted Toy Store by No Escape London.
You're listening to Scare Track.
Hi folks and welcome back to this episode of the Scare Track Podcast. Like I said in the intro, I am joined by Dan and Jess from UK Haunters. Dan and Jess, how's it going, guys?
All good, man, all good.
Yeah, all good, thank you.
Excellent, excellent. And you have been once again busy escaping an escape room down in London, and this time it was back at No Escape, is that right?
That's the one.
Perfect. Now, you went to the Allgate location before to do the butcher, and we did a whole episode on that. So if anyone wants to check out that episode, just go down in the archives and check that out. But this one was the Haunted Toy Store, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm checking out their website now, noescapelondon.co.uk, if anyone wants to check it out. An abandoned toy store looms over an otherwise charming village. People tell stories of weird noises and strange happenings, toys found in odd places and children going missing. No one has ever been brave enough to attempt to solve the mysteries of the toy store. That is, until you. Dum, dum, dum. So, UK Haunters, Dan and Jess, let's we'll try and do this like we do all that other sort of escape room episodes. Not give too many spoilers away on how anyone could complete it or anything like that, but give a few... Just give us a feel of what the escape room was like. And first off, did you complete it?
Of course, we did.
Of course. 15 minutes? 13 minutes to spare?
9 minutes, Daniel.
No, it was nine minutes. Okay, 9 minutes. Fair enough.
That's still not bad. So you did it in, what, 51 minutes?
It's still another one conquered. And also, this one, we needed... we only need, like, 2 hints?
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And they were hints as well, not even like, look, you dumbass, try this.
Well, that's not too bad then. So the whole thing...
This one was my favourite of the two, hands down.
Definitely.
This was awesome.
Right, oh, okay. And is that just because was the theme indifferent? Did you find it more... I remember you saying the other one, the butcher, was more... not mathematical, but more like you had to figure things out in your head as such rather than doing stuff.
The theming. I am a sucker for killer toys. Like, if anyone knows Full Moon Features, they do like the Puppet Master and Demonic Toys. I eat that shit up. I love it. Anything killer clown, killer toy, it is completely nothing in my wheelhouse. So before I went in there, I kind of had a predisposition to like it.
Yeah,
but it was also awesome as well. But yeah, the theming was fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, the theming, the story, it was all just, it was so much fun. It was, I think yeah. that's the difference between this. I'm not saying The Butcher wasn't fun, but this had a fun, kooky feel to it almost, yeah. as opposed mm. to The Butcher, which is a very serious.
Yeah, The Butcher also, as we said before, The Butcher was a lot of mathematical problems and number crunching, which has had us scratching our heads. Yeah. Where this one was all tactile. It's okay. picking stuff up and looking at and moving things and twisting and that's so much more enjoyable to us. We're not, I don't want to do number crunching under pressure. That's no fun. It might be fun to some people. To us, it's no fun. But this was definitely cool.
Awesome.
And it's even stuff like, I like the fact they, a few places have done this, but I like the fact they tell you the story before you go in as well.
Yeah.
So you kind of. You know, the host stands outside and goes, right, this is this, blah, 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 and gives you a little prep. So you kind of go in with...
I like that.
It's a nice time. It's one of those things where it doesn't cost anything. It's just a good idea because it's just a nice little touch because she gives you so much more production value. Because you've got this story in your head, when you go in there, you're putting together what she told you of what's going on.
Yeah.
So you notice a lot more little things going around, like if there's an article on the wall, it's it brings you into it. And again, as I said, it doesn't cost them anymore. It just adds to it, doesn't it?
And I suppose as well, I mean, obviously we're into these sort of things, and you get more out of them the more you put into them, and that's the same with escape rooms. It's the same with haunts and attractions and immersive theatre, things like that. If you put more effort into it, you're going to get more out of it. But I guess there's some the target market for escape rooms is quite broad, because it can be crazy horror fanatics like us, it can be a random family that just want to do something on a weekend, or it could even be a works out in it. It's a work, team building exercise. So having someone at the beginning explaining the story of the kind of thing that you're going to be encountering could actually benefit all those people. For us, because it's an extra bit of story, it's an extra bit of elaboration on what we're about to do. But then there's some people who probably don't really know what they're doing or don't particularly want to be there. They might have to be there for work, and then they need to get just a little bit of a push towards what they're going to do. So I think when escape rooms, and like you say, a few of them do this, a few of them don't, the explaining beforehand can actually get people like, oh, awesome, let's go, like, sort of pumps up, if that makes sense. And for people like us, it only just adds to the fun, doesn't it?
It's like when Halloween Horror Nights, they sort of like give a backstory about each house. It's the same sort of thing. So you're going in, you know, you're not just like, oh, here's the room, escape it. Oh, it's toy themed. You're like, all right, you know, whatever. It's you're walking into, you're almost walking into a film.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's the same with the escape rooms. It's you're walking into a live film set, but or theatre production, because you are a part of it. You are trying to escape. If you don't escape, you will die. You'll get, what was it? Do you get possessed in this, or you just, the people vanished, didn't they? There wasn't a... Because the Butcher, you get killed. This one, I think people just mysteriously vanished. But, you know, you have to escape. It does. It makes, again, it adds that extra level of immersion to it.
Definitely, definitely. And it's good to have that with these rooms that are non-IP style rooms as well. I mean, I've done a few escape rooms over time. I've done a Doctor Who room, which I loved. But again, it was Doctor Who. It's an IP. It's something that I already know. So the story, they didn't need to tell me the story of the Cybermen, because I know the story of the Cybermen. Yeah. I know multiple stories of Cybermen. So with this one, Haunted Toy Store, it's a whole, you know, it's their own homegrown attraction. The fact that they can give a bit of a backstory as well is only adding to it, you know. And I'm a sucker for backstories and Easter eggs, and, you know, if we're comparing this to Haunts, which is, you know, the main feature on the podcast, Traumatica.
They are.
I mean, these are just an offcut of haunted attractions and immersive theatrical storytelling, aren't they? But I mean, I go to Europa Park every year for Traumatica. Yes, their mazes are awesome. I really enjoy their haunted houses, but the amount of backstory involved it's incredible. They do like comic strips, they do mini movies, they do
loads of show me them. That
like insane stuff.
Impressive.
Insane stuff. So anyway, I'm digressing to just take me back to Germany, someone please. but back to the Haunted Toy Store. Yeah, so you'll go in, so it's in the same location as the Butcher. It's in the whole same, like the same building.
There's awesome. Two in that location, there's two in another, and two in another, and they're kind of scattered around London. Yeah.
Perfect. And the Haunted Toy Store, I'm guessing it's once you go in, it's just completely a different theme from the corridor where you're waiting, or is it sort of like themed out there as well?
It's a toy store. Yeah, it's a toy store with bird dolls, and there's a clown Ferris wheel.
Nice.
Which goes off. But yeah, but this one, to link it with Haunts, this one didn't have any scare actors in it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it had plenty of gimmicky things like
motion activated.
Yeah, motion activated, or something that you bumped into gave a weird, creepy, giggly laugh.
Oh, nice.
Some things would follow you around the room, which weren't part of the puzzles. They were just there just to people to be in a haunted doll room. The dolls occasionally will stare at you funny, that sort of thing. So they still really felt connected to the haunt side of stuff, which is why I love these escape rooms. It's because, you know, it's a new way of experiencing haunts. That's what they are to me. And this one, this is definitely up there.
Definitely. No, it sounds awesome. And I'm just comparing it to, obviously, because we've done the Butcher Room before, and we've discussed that. So this one, it's for 2 to 6 players, just like the Butcher as well. This one, they're saying the Fear Factor is 3, whilst the Fear Factor of the Butcher was 4. Would you agree with that? Would you say this one was not quite as scary or a different type of scare?
It wasn't scary at all. But then again...
But then we're speaking as people that
it's like
do scary stuff for fun.
Yeah,
of course. Yeah,
it's like when Jess said, you know, we watch horror like most people watch soap operas. When we did the first horror escape room, the guy was like, "You guys have nerves of steel." And it's like, I always thought I was a bit of a scaredy cat, but we just do it so often. So these escape rooms aren't haunt specific, they're not aimed at people who love haunts and scare attractions.
Course,
they're kind of like, if you like that flavour, so they're not, so to your average person, yeah, I suppose it is quite creepy.
Yeah.
But if you're a hardened haunt fan, it's cool, super cool, but it's not scary.
Yeah, no, definitely. But I suppose it's, again, I think we've touched on this before, it's sort of like, if you like haunts and scare attractions, and you're dipping into escape rooms, as you guys are doing as well, it's always cool to have that horror-esque feel to them, isn't there? 'Cause, I mean, I've done some that are completely... I mean, the Doctor Who one wasn't scary in the slightest. It was a sci-fi room, and I've done a prison cell one, and I've done a Brexit one of all escape rooms, you know. So they don't all have to be scary, but especially when we love what we love, it helps to explore the spooky side of them.
Yeah, but like some we've done, like a couple of the zombie ones we did, it was kind of like, it was, you said you had to escape for the zombie got released, and the zombie was just, there was a cabinet of a TV screen of a zombie inside it. And you're like, yeah, cool, this is kind of, you know, it's there. But yeah, these ones really, they're a step above that. They really make you feel like you are entering into a different world.
Nice. And this one's the difficulty is 4 of this one as well. And they said that Butcher was 4 as well. Would you say that you needed more help with the Butcher then?
Yes, we did. Because it was so number crunchy. We just like, we don't understand this. We did need. The thing is that there's certain points where if you're really stuck, they will give you the answer.
Mm-hmm.
But they gave us the answer twice, and we picked up, and we're like, we just figured this one out.
I remember you saying, Did you have any of issues?
It was the answer, but it was just a bit. It was
too late.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, that one we did need a bit. We were sort of saying, look, man, we're lost. You know, we don't get this. Where this one, it was more like running around. Okay, we're not quite sure. Give us a hint, and they said like, oh, have you looked so and so? Quite vaguely, we're like, okay, and that sparked our brains off, because we're enjoying it so much more because it was more tactile.
Yeah.
But we only needed a little nudge, whereas the numbers we were getting frustrated with.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
literally, it was literally only two hints at all. And they were like, oh, tried that. We're like, oh my God. And then rushed. And there's one thing Jess got. And I was like, how the hell do you get? And just like, I just looked at this and went, oh my God, that's it. And you're like, oh, shit, yeah. So, yeah,
me and Hannah have said that to each other every time we've done an online escape room with you two. We just look at each other off camera and go, how the fuck have they figured that out? I don't know. It's something to do with the dots and the ships. I don't know. I'll ask him to switch the lamp back on. I'll see if that works. Did any lamps do anything?
No. I cannot wait for the day that
I'm going to ask you every time, and I'm going to check a lamp. I checked it in the Doctor Who room. I'm going to check every lamp, because one day a lamp will be the key.
I'm not sure I'm allowed to say. Horrorscape actually invited me to beta test their new room when they
do it. Yes, I saw. Very exciting.
So I think if I can convince them to have a lamp that does something for you, sir, I will do my best.
I think it just makes sense. Like, maybe switch a lamp on and a neon light comes up and all the writing on the wall. Do you know what I mean? It's just made for it, isn't it? It's made for it.
Definitely.
Okay, well, we don't want to go too deep into it, because obviously we don't want to give too many spoilers or anything like that. But before we sort of wrap this mini discussion review of the Haunted Toy Store up, were there any sort of key things that just really jumped out to you that you really enjoyed?
No, I do like the fact that their rooms are very varied. Like, they were saying the Butch room is, I say it's number crunchy. It's probably not to your average person, but I'm dyslexic. I don't like numbers.
Yeah.
Jess is very, very brainy, but just doesn't like numbers. But it was a very different thing to the toy room, which is very, very tactile. And they've got another one called a dentist room, which we're going to be doing at some point, maybe with you, if we can get you down here.
That'd be nice.
She said people were asking for a room that they didn't want much story, and they didn't want the horror to be as much part of the puzzles. They just wanted a horror surrounding and theming to do the puzzles in. So they've listened to what people have been saying, and they've got different levels and different styles within what they do, which I think is quite, you know, I like, everyone should do their own thing and do something different. And this is what they're doing. It's just kind of a wave of very different style things. So I thought that was quite interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
There was a puzzle in this room that I had not seen done before.
Okay.
And I was really surprised by it. Dan's just done the action with his hand to what it was. And yeah, it was really cool, because I hadn't seen it before. And when it clicked, and it was so cool seeing it come into place.
Yeah, and it kind of used something which we'd used from way before. We've done that. That's now no longer relevant. And then this last thing, you went, oh my God, it is. It kind of came back to you. Yeah, it's really, it's good. I mean, these are very solid rooms. I mean, I don't think I've done an escape room which I haven't liked yet. But these ones, these are really good. I'm very, very interested in doing the other ones.
I would definitely say toy room is beginner friendly.
Okay. I don't know, really. Is it beginner?
If you want to dip your toes into a horror escape room and you haven't done a horror escape room before, it's not horrific enough that it will put you off or that it will distract you from the clues. The clues aren't overly difficult, so you're able to get it. I honestly think it would be the perfect beginner's haunt. Well, haunted escape room. Yeah.
Winner. Excellent. Awesome. So, guys, if you want to check it out yourselves, head over to their website. It's www.noescapelondon.co.uk. And like Dan and Jess said, they've got multiple locations. They've got Oxford Street, they've got Aldgate, and they've got Holloway as well. So plenty of games to check out. Awesome. I think that brings us to the perfect end of this episode. And a huge thank you to Dan and Jess once again for joining us.
Sweet. Pleasure as always, man.
Unlocked Vision, proud sponsors of the Scaretrack podcast. UVE are a multi-award-winning themed attraction and design company, providing bespoke themed attractions, theming, events, and experiences. Contact UVE today by visiting unlockedvision.com. Now, let's return back to the show. And remember, let's get scared!
So there we go, folks. First of all, a huge thank you to Dan and Jess for coming on to the Scaretrack podcast once again, becoming fantastic guest hosts, big time here on Scaretrack. We love the UK Haunters team. And guys, if you've not watched UK Haunters yet, the first feature-length documentary of the UK haunt scene, check it out now. It's on Amazon Prime. You can stream it. I love it. I've got it on DVD, in fact. I was one of the very special few that got the first few DVDs. So go and check it out. Some amazing stuff on there from Broadwich Haunt Fest, from Zed Events, from Horrify Me, from Faceless Ventures, and I make a little cameo too. So yeah, go and check it out, guys. And the Haunted Toy Store sounded awesome. It sounded right up our street. I hope to get down to London and check it out myself and see if myself and Hannah can beat their 51 minutes. They're doing well, Dan and Jess, with these escape rooms now, all these haunt, horror, subgenre escape rooms. I think they've completed 10 out of 11 now, so not too bad at all. Also, a huge thank you to you guys for listening to this episode of the Scaretrack podcast. It really, really does mean a lot. The next episode will be out in just a few days, again with Dan. We're having a movie war episode. It's a new series where Dan came up with it. Fantastic idea. It's horror movies that should be made into scare mazes. Winner, winner, chicken deer. The only rule is that they obviously have to be a horror movie, but it can't have been done before. It can't be like anything like Saw, because that's been made into horror movie, horror mazes before. Also, it can't be a film that's about a horror maze. So it can't be Haunt, and it can't be Hellfest or you know, or Funhouse. It can't be any of those. So that's the next episode coming out. If you've not listened to one of our most recent episodes with Andrew Porter, then I very highly recommend that one. Andy gives so much information and so much intel into what he does when he creates these immersive attractions. He's created, along with the teams from Merlin Magic Making, things like Room on the Broom, The Gruffalo, Tiger Rock, a Croc Drop as well. But of course, he's made huge fan favourites at Screamfest Burton as well. Things like Nocturnal, Soul Seekers, Slasher, Insomnia. The list is endless, honestly, guys. So check it out. If you like this episode and want to listen to more, be sure to click that subscribe button. It really, really does mean a lot. And if you want to subscribe to Scaretrack here on the podcast, you also can over on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Scaretrack. Go and check it out. We've got a new video coming up soon about scares. We're going to be going to their lair as well and having a discussion and checking out all the amazing props they have there with Mad About Scares and Mad About Horror. So lots to come up in the next few weeks, and then it's only round the corner. Halloween really is round the corner. Let's get rid of this horrible hot weather and let's get it damp and dingy and autumnal, ready for Halloween. So that brings us to the end of this episode of the Scaretrack podcast. A huge, huge thanks for listening, and let's get scared.